The following podcast will contain spoilers and explicit language.
To listen to your messages, press 1.
Hey, this is Jared from Plano, Texas.
This is Jay. I'm from Pennsylvania.
This is Lewis from Spring, Texas.
This is Chris from San Diego.
This is Wes from Mississippi.
This is Christopher from Oklahoma.
This is Steve from Pennsylvania.
I'm Allison from Chicago.
This is Adam from Mississippi.
This is Rob from South Carolina.
And the following movie
was chosen
by listeners
like me.
End of message.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of
Yeah, It's That Bad.
My name is Joel.
And I'm Martin.
This is the show that looks at supposedly bad movies and asks the question, is it really that bad? And what that boils down to is that we look at movies that are rotten on Rotten Tomatoes and we reevaluate that score. Does it really deserve to be that low? Tonight's movie is 2008's Babylon AD, directed by Matthew Kasovitz, starring Vin Diesel, Michelle Yeoh, Melanie Thierry, Lambert Wilson, Mark Strong, Charlotte Rampling, and Gerard Depardieu. Babylon AD is a 2008 French science fiction action film based on the novel Babylon Babies by Maurice-Georges Dantec. This film currently holds a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. How about a quick plot synopsis?
Veteran-turned-mercenary Taroop takes the high-risk job of escorting a woman from Russia to America. Little does he know that she is host to an organism that a cult wants to harvest in order to produce a genetically modified messiah.
Okay, Martin, Babylon AD. What's your history with this?
None. Zero.
I'm pretty sure I watched this movie several years ago, like on HBO or something, and I just turned it off out of boredom. So this is the first time I've ever watched it through in its entirety. But, you know, before we get into this thing, I think there are some fun facts that I want to get out of the way right at the very beginning that will help put this movie into perspective. First, did you know that this movie was not screened for critics?
I did know that, and that is never a good sign.
Never, ever, ever. Ever. Okay, number two, Rotten Tomatoes lists this as the 92nd worst movie of the last decade. The worst of the decade.
Yeah, but that's out of like out of 100, right?
Yeah. It's the top 100 worst. Yeah, but you know, a lot of movies came out in that 10-year span.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so let's just jump into this thing and start talking about the actors. I mean, like, there's only a few people in here even worth talking about. Vin Diesel.
His name's Vincent Diesel.
Vincent Diesel. What are your thoughts?
He played his part correctly in this movie. He was supposed to be a quote-unquote badass action star, and he was supposed to maybe two-thirds of the movie show it that he did in fact have a heart and that he did care. And, you know, he played it to a T. It was like stereotypical action, you know, movie script, just by the book.
Well, like, what's your history with this guy? Do you like this stuff?
No.
No? None?
I mean, other than Pitch Black, I don't think so.
Triple X?
I loved Triple X. And I love State of the Union with Ice Cube. That was great.
You know, yeah. I'm not a Vin Diesel fan.
Other than Pitch Black, no. His acting is not exactly the greatest in the world. But, you know, he's an action star. And, I mean, that would be like comparing him to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he has a really great, like, he has a great screen presence. Like, he's interesting guy to look at. Like, he's this big, imposing guy. But when he opens his mouth and he starts talking, it's like,
It's very similar with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Vin Diesel, I thought he did a lousy job in this movie.
You know what? He did a lousy job, but I think he was on par for what he was supposed to do as an action star.
All right, okay. Next up, Michelle Yeoh.
She really didn't have too many speaking lines. She was really more of like a martial arts, you know, subsidiary fighter for Vin Diesel's acting.
Yeah, she was just there. She spotted off a little philosophy every now and again, but yeah, she didn't have much to do in this movie. Okay, next up, the damsel in distress, Melanie Thierry, however you pronounce that, I'm not really sure.
She was probably the most competent actor in this movie. And
really?
Yeah. Compared to who? Vin Diesel? Yes. What do you mean, really?
No, I don't. If this was a French film, maybe she would win that award. But her English wasn't up to my standards.
Wait, where did she grow up in this movie?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. The Alps? Where were they?
I'm pretty sure they were in Russia.
Okay, yeah.
And you're upset that she had an accent.
Uh-huh.
Right. Anyway. No, emotionally, and as far as body language goes, I think that she was the most competent actor. And that's not saying much for this movie, but she was.
Okay, yeah. And the only other person that's even worth talking about is Gerard Depardieu, my father, the hero.
Okay, look, this is what I got to say about Gerard Depardieu. Whoever did his makeup effects. My hat's off to them. He looked, his nose was phenomenal in this movie. It was just like this.
It was enormous.
It was this giant Play-Doh mashup, like goblin nose that they threw on him. He was just like driving around the entire movie in a sex tank with like TVs all over the inside. He was looking good. All
right, let's just jump into this thing then. Let's get into the heart of the matter, the meat and potatoes of Babylon AD.
Do you understand that title?
Yeah, what did that have to do with anything?
Was there ever a mention of Babylon or like an ancient city or like a renewal of like a society or a new Babylon?
No, not once.
So then where is this title even coming from?
I don't know. I have no idea because they really didn't hint at it at all. This movie starts off with what I'm going to say is probably the best thing in the entire movie. They kind of blow it all in the first opening shot where the camera slowly zooms into the planet Earth and we see the kind of how it's futuristic world and it zooms into Vin Diesel's face as he's being blown away. And this shot is clearly visible almost in its entirety in the trailer of this movie.
It is. It doesn't matter though, because like I would watch that over and over again.
It's very cool.
It's very cool.
I'll give him that right off the bat. I'm going to give him that. Like if you say what you will about this movie, but it looks good. It was competently shot. Like the cinematographer did a good job.
And whatever company did the CG, yeah. Phenomenal job.
Yeah. The production design is really good. Yeah. So Vin Diesel, he gives a speech in the beginning, which is just, it's just, it is not good. Not good at all. If I may, a dramatic reading.
Yeah, go ahead.
Save the planet. What?
you can't even read it. Do you want me to do the dramatic reading for you?
Save the planet. Whenever I've read that bumper sticker, I've had to laugh. Save the planet? What for? And for what? Ourselves? What about God? Can he help us? I don't think so. God gave us what we have to see how we use it. Shit. Rats in a cage would have done the better. Life's a bitch and then you die. Bumper sticker philosophy. Yeah, right. Sometimes you get a second chance. Come on, I did just as good a job as he did, right?
You did just as good a job.
Yeah, so what does that mean? All that stuff he just spouted there. What does that even have to mean? What does that mean? What is he talking about? What the hell are you talking about?
I think he's blaming God or that God doesn't exist. Or I don't know what he's blaming.
How does that apply to anything that happened in this movie?
Anyway, that takes us back to where is he?
This whole movie takes place in Serbia, and it starts off like with Vin Diesel in like a military camp of some sort.
No, I think that's just like regular Serbia.
Yeah, and it looked like the best way I could describe it. It looked like the ending of Children of Men. That's exactly what everything looked like. It looked good. I mean, I'll give him that.
It looked like their country hadn't seen a can of paint in like 20 years.
Yeah. Is there anything here even worth talking about? Like this whole.
Besides the explosive gas scene?
Yeah, go ahead. Just describe that for the people listening.
Okay, so Vin Diesel goes, it shows him going through his daily routine. He goes, he gets food, he brings it back. He's living in like this junker apartment. He sits down to eat his meal, takes a bite of his food, and then he hunches over in slow motion. Like it looks like he's trying to push a turd out of his ass. And at that moment, it shows him from a side perspective. And there's a big explosion coming out like from behind him, like him trying to squeeze that turd out caused a giant explosion in his apartment.
No, that's not, like, Mara's not joking. Like, that's not like he's joking around. That's really what it looks like. Like, that's how the editing makes it look like.
And they did it in slow motion, so it was like this giant slow motion fart bomb that went off, where it was like,
No, that's a perfect recreation of it.
And then like 40 guys came in, like they're storming because his fart apparently is illegal or something, and they have to like take him to prison.
Yeah, and this scene where all these guys storm in, right? Their leader goes up to Vin Diesel, puts a gun to his head, and then Vin Diesel grabs the guy's gun and then like kills him, like he just shoots him.
And there's like 40 guys,
there's 40
and they don't
guys
cry.
With guns all pointed at Vin Diesel, and not a one of them even says a word when Vin Diesel murders their boss.
Nobody even cares, and I feel like if I was one of them, I might, and he says—
At least hit him, right?
He's like, rookies. But listen, if that was the first time I had done that and they did that to my boss, I'd probably just shoot him. Okay, so it was at this point that he gets taken down to a, what I like to call a sex tank, okay? It's like this armored transport with like a tank cannon on the front.
Yeah, Gerard Depardieu is holding court in there. He's got his huge nose, his fat belly, and he's like—
He's in there, and essentially they're having a business deal. He agrees to that. He picks up these two women from a monastery that is carved into the side of a mountain.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Sure. Let me ask you a question. Is it fair to say that this movie is The Transporter meets what? Children of Men? Yeah, right. Because that was the plot of The Transporter. They got to deliver a girl. Right?
Yeah, it was. The girl was weird, though, because, like, all right, she's a super sheltered girl, and as they leave the monastery and they head towards the train depot and they're going through the market, she almost has, like, ESP, where she's like, no, we gotta get out of here, and they're like, what the hell are you doing? A bomb goes off and kills everybody.
I have a problem with this.
Why? What's your problem?
I have a problem with this girl. Like, they don't properly build up the fact that this girl has these abilities. It seems really haphazard, the way that they gave her all these powers.
I actually don't understand her abilities at all.
Yeah, like, okay, so what can she do? So she has the ability to see into the future, I guess.
She's
empathic. She feels people's pain.
How?
Yeah. And then at the end, we see her telekinetically stop a missile. So
she she stopped the missile. There's fire going around all of them. And she stopped the fire from incinerating Vin Diesel and herself.
They just don't really build up to this properly.
The way that
things just happen. So they're in the marketplace, and she goes, she freaks out, and she says, no, don't go in there. And somehow she has a vision of the future, and a bomb goes off, and she saves their lives, right? All right, so after all this crap, like, they decide that they're going to smuggle the girl to America. And the way they do it is they go to this frozen tundra, and a submarine pops out of the ice, which admittedly was cool. That was a pretty cool idea. Right,
that would be the only way that you could smuggle somebody, because they said that there were satellites tracking.
It was
area.
Very cool. Just like in 2012, everyone's rushing to get onto the ship, fighting each other. The submarine starts to descend. Everybody's fighting each other, and the girl goes on the submarine, and her empathic abilities kick in. She says that she can feel. She feels everybody's pain, and she freaks. She's like, "Ah!" She freaks out.
It's weird, because why didn't she feel everybody's pain when the explosion went off?
Oh, no.
At the train station. Did you see everybody was on the ground like, oh, my legs are gone.
She's like, oh, let's get out of here. She didn't care. No, but then she goes into the submarine, and then she starts just randomly pushing buttons on the submarine. But you know what? What she's doing is actually working. Like, the submarine starts to, like, what, go up?
It starts to go back up and stop killing people.
Like, what the hell's going on? What's going on here?
It wasn't even like she was doing, like, one person's job, because on a submarine, like, the jobs are extraordinarily specific.
No, she was moving from, like, point to very, point.
She was doing the work of, like, 15 people on, like, a high-tech nuclear submarine. I was like, what is going on right now? And then out of nowhere, they're like, stop her. And she's like, no, and pulls out a gun. I'm like, where'd you get that gun from?
Where did you get that gun?
Really weird. After the entire time, she was, like, almost having, like, an emotional, empathetic, like, breakdown for somebody using a gun.
I would never hurt anyone.
She has a gun. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Okay, after the submarine scene, we get a scene taken straight out of XXX, where Vin Diesel jumps out a snowmobile. and they're driving across the tundra.
It was almost the same, because, like, the boat in XXX was like a snowmobile boat, right? In any case, they're driving across the tundra, and they're like, we're in the DMZ zone. I guess for anybody that doesn't know, DMZ is demilitarization zone, which makes no sense, because there's tons of military presence there. There's, like, these drones that fire, what, missiles? Sidewinder missiles, and have, like, powerful 50...
Yeah, they're being chased by, like, drones, these hunter drones. They're blasting missiles everywhere, trying to
kill
them.
Through the demilitarization zone,
uh-huh.
Which technically should have no weapons at all, but... You know what? You'd think that these drones in the future would be smart enough to know, like, what is human and what isn't, but it shows that it's shooting polar bears.
Yeah, yes, that's true. Okay, so when these drones show up, Vin Diesel takes a page out of the Too Fast, and he takes a page out of the Fast and the Furious, and he hits the NOS, he hits the turbo button, and they're like,
the difference is the NOS button on the on the snowmobile looks more like the easy button from the commercial.
Oh, yeah, from the Staples commercial.
From the Staples commercial. It doesn't look anything like the NOS in Fast and the Furious, but...
Yeah, he hits the button and he zooms out of there.
It just says turbo in giant impact font. It's like, turbo.
Yep, and then XXX. Then Vin Diesel does a backflip.
You're skipping a scene there. Because he jumps from one... snowmobile traveling
to the
whatever
other,
120 miles an hour to the other one. He's like, all right, come on, go this way.
And then he does a backflip.
He does, like, an inverted flip into a missile. Okay, this is what I don't get. Right before he does this, there was a scene where they're on the submarine that he says, if she is a weapon, I will personally kill her and burn the body. If he does a backflip into a missile, he's almost ensuring that he's going to die and that she'll survive. That's kind of ruining his plan, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that scene actually made me laugh out loud. Do you remember how poorly edited this was?
Yeah.
They cut to the drone, then they cut to Vin Diesel, then they cut to the drone, and then they cut to, like, a blur flying through the air.
I remember after we watched that, you're like, what the fuck just happened?
I'm
like,
rewind that.
And I'm like, wait, who the hell was that? Who the hell just died? I was like, did another, like, snowmobile come out of nowhere and sacrifice themselves for no reason? At first, I didn't think anyone was on the snowmobile. I thought it was just a rogue snowmobile that hit the missile.
Yeah, the editing on this was really poor.
So we had to rewind, and it turned out that it was Vin Diesel's character. And the girl goes over, saves his life. He's got shrapnel in him, I guess.
Yeah, she just pulls it out. Like, here, let me get that for you. She plucks it out of his body.
Where did they get the field surgeon equipment from? They, like, laid it out real fast, and she started, like, operating on him.
I don't know. So the guy that they had as the guide turned out to be a double cross. They shot him. And then after this, we have a very tender and loving family. A very tender family value scene. What'd you think of that?
Okay, so they're in the their tent, and Vin Diesel is getting whatever field medic service going on. She's suturing up his wound, which apparently was enough to where, like, the bleeding would kill him, but not so severe that she couldn't just stitch him up at the end. That being said, she's stitching him up, and everybody giggles, and it's real funny.
Yeah, I was really laughing it up. I was so happy to see.
Then
that.
They cut to Vin Diesel doing night watch, I guess, looking at the Aurora, and Aurora comes out, and she's like, "Will you really kill me and burn my body?" And he's like, "I hope it doesn't come to that," but he says he would, but he also says that he will protect her no matter what. And, you know, it was a very touching scene. So, you know, Vin Diesel, he's no longer harsh and diesel. He goes 85 octane and turns down the Nas, and he becomes more human.
Yeah, right after this, they ride the Coke Zero plane. All the way to America.
So then the next immediate scene, and this really bothered me. Okay, what is going on in this Aurora scene is pretty emotional. And there's no buildup to it. But we go straight from, like, Vin Diesel being, like, a father figure to him being in a towel shaving in a mirror, mm-hmm. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Like, daddy's shaving. He leans down to wash his face, and you see Aurora behind him with no bra on, just kind of, like, very, like, she's in her underwear. And she comes up to him. He stares at her, and she's just about to start making out with him. I'm like, wait,
weren't you just, like, father-daughter?
Weren't you just, like, father-daughter? Now you're trying to, like... Now you're trying to, I guess, bang him. Like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, then Michelle Yeoh barges in. She's like, oh.
She's like, oh, I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So about this point, let's say they don't get to America until an hour into the movie. So it's a two-hour movie, so it takes 50% of the movie for them to get to America. And it's only until now that they show the villain of the movie. This annoyed me. I was like, what the hell? Like, this character should have been set up, like, in the first shot, not an hour in.
Yeah, it turns out that Cruella De Vil, the bad guy in this movie.
Yeah, it's this old woman. It's like basic filmmaking. Like, why would I care at all about this villain if you don't set them up as a threat at all until, like, the end of the movie?
I actually didn't know. I didn't even know she was a villain till the very end. I was like, okay, she's bad, but why?
Yeah, so they're in New York, and New York looks awesome. It's this future Tokyo fun zone now in the future.
Yeah, it looked like Casino Zone from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
It was at that point that they get to this awesome apartment, and the doctor comes in. He delivered the goods.
Yeah, so this doctor shows up.
He looks like a pedophile.
Yeah, and he comes in, and he examines the girl, and he checks her blood, and he's like, oh. They're more powerful than I ever imagined.
What the hell does that mean?
So I'm thinking to myself, like, what is he checking her midichlorian count? Like, what the hell's going on here?
It was the way that he did it. He, like, put, like, gloves on, like he was going to give her a proctology exam, and then he starts shoving his hand around her mouth. I'm like, what is he checking for? Is he looking for cavities? It was, it was so weird. Such a weird.
Yeah. So at this point of the movie, right, I have lost interest. I really did. Like, I'll say this. Like, the first half, like, the first 25% of this movie, I was actually going along with it. Like, it looked interesting, and the setup was interesting, but it just kept going and going, and I just, like, whatever. What's going on? I don't care. This is confusing and muddled. All right, so after all this stuff happens, after the doctor leaves, the girl, she comes out of her room, and she goes, I'm pregnant!
As if the doctor just inseminated her or something. Yeah. Walked out of the room and it was like that quick.
I was like, and Michelle Yeoh was like, hey, wait a minute. I've watched you your entire life. No man has ever touched you. And she's like, yeah, you're right. Guess what? Virgin birth. Like, really? Really? That's where this movie's going?
Well, it cuts straight to the, whatever, Cruella DeVille, like, and she goes, what do you mean you can't find that girl? We have a copyright on this miracle. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's like this religion in this movie is pretty much just a corporation. Well, they talked about how the religion is like, it went public and it's people buy shares of it and stuff.
Yeah, it became an IPO and people were able to start buying. But how can you have a copyright on a miracle?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Virgin birth.
That's been done before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that someone's already got the patent on that.
Someone's already patented that, I think.
Now is the time where Vin Diesel finally can complete his job and hand over the package of this girl. And there's two different groups of people there. There's the religion is there, and Gerard Depardieu's goons, who looked absurd, are there.
They had motorcycle helmets that were skulls?
Yeah, they looked terrible.
Skull face helmet.
Yeah, this is crap.
But, I mean, either way, he goes outside, there's a huge gunfight, and it's at this scene that she starts walking in slow motion.
Bullets are whizzing by in slow motion.
It's like a weird bullet time because they show the streaks of the bullets, but she can somehow see where they're going to be and just not get hit by them.
Is that what you got from that?
Yes, it is, because I saw the missile fly by them and it flew by the woman who watches her and she couldn't follow it, but the girl could. The girl turned and watched the missile and I'm like, her reflexes are that fast?
Okay. Well, all right. Whatever.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
Well, you gotta have a keen eye. I don't know. Maybe that's what I want to believe. Because, like, I can't explain that any other way other than maybe she has total disregard for her life.
Yeah, because, like, there's guns flying her, bullets are whizzing by all over the place, and this girl is just slowly just meandering through this busy New York street in this gunfight. Where are the cops? I don't know.
It doesn't matter because she's the entire reason that they're there. Why are they firing bullets near her at all?
Yeah, like,
they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars. She's probably worth billions of dollars.
Yep.
Just to get her here.
Both camps are firing.
Both camps are firing. Like, bullets are flying past her face. That is insane from just from, like, a business perspective.
You know, and then Vin Diesel does this thing that I think they thought was supposed to be cool, but I wasn't too pleased about it. Someone fires a missile at him, all right? A missile. And Vin Diesel runs to a van, jumps through the window, like the front window, right? Like,
yeah,
he goes through the window, rolls through the van, and he pops out the back, and the missile goes through the van after him, and then Vin Diesel slams the door shut, and the missile blows up in his face, and then he goes flying backwards. Wouldn't that just have killed him?
I'm pretty sure it would have incinerated him. This raises another question. Is the missile moving that slow where Vin Diesel can see it coming through
and
the window?
And outrun it.
Outrun it and be like, all right, time to shut the door just in time so I can trap it in the van. like it's a caged animal or something. He's going to trap it in the van. You know what I didn't get about that scene was the way that they edited it.
Oh,
it was so jarring and confusing.
Man.
It was horrible. I had no idea who was hitting anybody. I was like, wait, someone just got punched, but who hit them?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's pretty fair to say that every 5 seconds there was a cut, right? Cut, 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 cut.
But I mean, I guess it was because Vin Diesel can't fight, like, in real life, and neither can this woman, so they had to edit it to make it
look
like...
She was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She was. But she had wires in that movie. I don't know if she had wires in this one.
No, she did it raw.
They edited, like, I think Vin Diesel threw a gun at someone, and then they edited it. They show the gun coming at the camera, they edit it, and then they just show a guy dead on the ground. I'm like, what? The hell just happened? The gun killed him? He just threw it at him. So, you know, the editing was pee-pee poor.
Okay.
Really confusing and jarring editing. I felt like I was on the I felt like it was the end of the Scrambler. I went to an amusement park. I was on the Scrambler and then someone sat me down in front of this movie to see if I'd vomit.
Okay, so after this is the finally catch up to the opening scene in the movie where Vin Diesel gets a missile in the face. I guess, and dies, supposedly.
Listen, that is a ridiculous statement, but there is no other way to put it. He literally gets a missile in the face.
And lives to tell the tale. So we cut to this place, and we meet the doctor that created this girl. And I found this to be really confusing, because the doctor guy looks just like the evil doctor guy from that we met like 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah, it looked
I thought it was the same guy.
So did I. The evil doctor looked like he used Just for Men on his beard.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, the good doctor, didn't.
Yeah.
That was the only difference.
It was like the same person. I was like, what the hell's going on? Apparently, in this explosion, Vin Diesel lost his leg. And now he has like a...
He has a bionic arm.
Yeah, he's got a bionicle and...
He's got a bionicle.
Yeah. And they do this thing that is borderline absurd. They hook him up to a machine that can read his memories. And then they go back in time and in his mind and they see his memories on a computer screen.
For such an advanced technique, they were really bad at it. Because like they're like, no, we're too far back. They went back 50 years in his life to his childhood. I'm like, that's a little far back. You just wanted to go back like maybe a week.
Well, I mean, when they get to the point where it's like the present, he gets shot and it's kind of implied that he dies. Like,
yeah, it is because
like, he's like, dude, just reliving the memory killed him again. Like, yeah, what?
What else was weird about that was he's like, but how would I have seen it? I was dead. He's like, exactly. I'm like, what? What do you mean exactly? He's dead. He stopped seeing. And then they just cut to the scene where they're going through his memories. I'm like, that didn't what?
Yeah.
It didn't clear up anything.
Well, I mean, when we see his memories, we find out what truly happened. Instead of Vin Diesel getting getting this missile to the face, the girl, she uses her psionic powers and like slows the missile down and it blows up in slow motion and the camera rotates around her.
And she protects him with like a force field kind of thing in herself. And
I felt like the movie didn't deserve this kind of a payoff. Came out of nowhere, right? Like there was no build up to this, and I felt you're supposed to feel excitement when you see something like that. I felt nothing. I felt numb.
Yeah, I didn't feel anything. I mean, she essentially is more powerful than Jean Grey, like the Phoenix from X-Men.
Yeah,
why and how and what?
She's supposed to be like the next stage of human evolution or something. I don't know.
They don't explain that till the very end of the movie. So like, essentially, every single W question that you can think of is happening in my head.
What? Where? Who, when? What?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, really. Like, I'm like, how is this happening? Why is this happening? Who did this to her? What? Just what? What? So it shows in this memory that she's saying, go back home. Then the doctor goes, what does that mean? Earlier on in the movie, Vin Diesel said, I want to try and get back home. I have my parents had a farm in upstate New York on the border of Canada, and I'd like to go back there. And he's not allowed to because he's on a terrorist list. And by doing this job, he'll be able to get back there. So I guess that's what she meant. She meant that she would meet him there because she didn't die.
So let's just get to the end of this thing. So apparently she, like as you said before, no, it's a virgin birth. She's pregnant with twins. And now we cut to her delivering the twins. And apparently she was programmed to just give birth and that's it. So she dies while she's giving birth in one of the most confusingly edited scenes in this entire movie.
Which is great because it was just like Star Wars. She has twins. They're going to be the savior. The savior. And she's like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
My heart. I have expected Vin Diesel to go, no.
Yeah, so like she says something to him and then
she says, you're gonna be their father now.
Yeah, and then like we hear her heart go beep and then it ends.
No, well after you hear it go beep, then you hear I mean, Leia and Luke are born then, and
yeah, okay, one more dramatic reading from Vin Diesel at the very end.
This is the best.
Save the planet. One child at a time, ain't that a bitch?
Wah, wah, like, the end. Like, wait, what? Like, I made you rewind it with that. I'm like, wait, that's the ending? Like, what just happened? I was confused with this. It kind of felt to me like they were trying to cram like three movies worth of story into one thing. All right, that's all there is to say on Babylon AD. Let's see what the critics had to say about Babylon AD. Babylon AD is a bad, bloated, big-budget science fiction film that doesn't even have the distinction of being memorably horrible or fascinatingly inept. It's simply a lump of a product, a failure, too expensive to simply discard. James Roche, Cinematical. Like a futuristic remake of Triple X. that no one ever asked for. This atrociously lame and redundant sci-fi flick may be the dullest action movie of the year. Edward Douglas, comingsoon.net.
Thank you, Ed.
That was good.
That was very good.
I, unfortunately, had a seat that faced the screen. And I have 2 hours of my life that I will never get back. Ben Lyons at the movies. Wow, okay. All right, Mar, so the critics didn't like this movie. It has a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is it really that bad?
Yes, it is that bad. I went into it expecting nothing, and I got a little bit more than nothing. So, I mean, like a little bit more. The CG was good and it was cool to look at. And I don't know. There were a few exciting moments. The first half of the movie was kind of cool. And then the second half just really shit the bed. Made no sense. It was super confusing. And I left my room with kind of a headache. If that makes any sense, I felt nauseous. Like I had just drove in a car while I was reading something really, really confusing for about 3 hours.
I'm
going to give this a solid 2 out of 5. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. And if somebody ever wanted to sit down and talk to me about it, I'd probably just get up and walk away. I'd be like, listen, I've already spoken about this enough. And I just get up and walk away.
Okay. As for me, is it really that bad? Yes. Yes, it is that bad. Like I was saying before, the first half of the movie, you know, it's fine. Like there's nothing really wrong with the beginning of the movie. It looks interesting. There's the plot setup is okay. And I was thinking to myself, why do people think this movie's so bad? But as it progressed, downward spiral.
Showed its true colors.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that in my notes here. I wrote down, it's a really good thing that we're talking about this movie now. Because if we talked about this like 3 or 4 days down the road, I would have completely forgotten everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. In one ear, not the other.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really really muddled, so it was hard to keep track of the story.
Yeah, so scale of 1 to 5, yeah, I would give it a 2. 2 out of 5.
What do you like about it?
I think the effects are interesting, the look, some of the futuristic stuff is interesting, and yeah, that's about it.
Some of the futuristic ideas. Yeah. The look is cool and the ideas are kind of cool.
Yeah, that's it. I just like the visuals. Everything else, blah, whatever. Okay, let's read some listener mail. Alex writes in with some comments about the 2012 episode. He says, I agreed with everything you guys said, but I just wanted to add 2 things. The movie started off ridiculous and never stopped. In the very beginning, there is a scene in India where the scientist is below ground and it is so hot that the water is boiling. The problem is that in the background, there are all these other scientists with computers. That really pissed me off because here in the States, we are told that we have to keep our computers in a cool room to avoid overheating and the subsequent meltdown of the one's CPU. Last time I checked, you can't exactly pour ice cubes on computers. But perhaps the most preposterous and ridiculous concept was yet to come. Let's just believe everyone else for a moment. Believe the Noah's Ark idea with the flying giraffe, etc., etc. Even if I accept with all other impossible rubbish, I cannot accept the Billionaires Club. I just can't. If you took the time to make sure different animal species survive, why would you not take the time to fill up the human population with special skill sets such as engineers, builders, welders, scientists, doctors, etc., not billionaires? Heck, even chefs are more important than most billionaires whose only skill is to give commands and wouldn't know how to put peanut butter and jelly sandwich together. So, now we have these arcs full of people without real skills. So when they land, what are they going to do exactly? Pay each other with Monopoly money and give each other orders? Come on. Money would be useless at that point. And the only thing that would truly matter is your skill set to survive and to create. And then he goes on to say that the Chinese workers that built the arcs are more valuable than any of the billionaires.
I agree with them. There had to be electricians, people that set up the circuitry, people that actually weld it, people that knew how to build ships, follow blueprints. They were way more valuable. They were way, way, way more valuable. Like, the billionaires, as far as I'm concerned, like, let's say a lot of them studied business or economics. There is no economy anymore. It doesn't exist. If they made their money on the stock market or they made their money like by investing in commodities or running a business, what business are they running? That doesn't exist. They are worthless. Actually, you know what? A lot of them were kind of heavy. You could probably eat them.
Oh, the billionaires?
The billionaires would be a good food source. That's about it.
Steph also has a comment about 2012. 2012, a movie I could just barely finish. It was so preposterous, though it did make me laugh, mostly because, 1, everyone was able to connect on the phone to a loved one and friends as the world was imploding. And two, every single one of those phone calls ended something like this. Well, we're all right for now. I love or respect you and hope you are safe. Hey, what's that? Then there was the whooshing sound of a house, boat, earth collapsing in upon itself. Ah! Click. She's right. That's pretty...
I mean, everybody got closure, I guess. The phones working is kind of ridiculous. Not to give too much away, but me and you, we live in the New York metropolitan area.
Uh-huh.
Okay, remember when 9/11 happened?
Yes.
All right. That is a, you know, on the grand scale of tragedies in comparison to 2012, not to take anything away from it, that was a tragedy, but, I mean, it wasn't the whole earth imploding. Okay. Were you able to use your phone that day?
No, it was jammed.
Was anybody that you knew able to use their phone?
No.
But somehow, when the entire earth is collapsing, they're able to use their phone.
And here are some of the answers to the question of the week, which was, if you could only save one movie at the end of the world, what would it be? And we got some pretty varied responses. Rebecca says, bar none, it's got to be Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I love that bullet grenade. Remember, and he brings the refrigerator up, and there's a nail in his hand. He's like, ah, yeah. pulls the nail.
Yeah,
out.
Eraser. It packs enough action and one-liners to get you through a couple millennia. Plus, he shoots an alligator in the face, which means it could serve as an educational material for subsequent generations. Al writes, I'll go with the 13th Warrior because while being exciting and entertaining, it was also inspiring. That's a really interesting pick.
I don't know if I would have picked that movie.
And a different Al says, if I could save one movie, it would be The Naked Gun from the Files of the Police Squad. It's easily one of the funniest movies of all time. Who doesn't love Leslie Nielsen as the bumbling Lieutenant Frank Drebin? It makes me laugh out loud every time I watch it.
I agree with him. That movie is hilarious. I like 2.5 and 33 1/3.
Okay, thanks, guys. If you want to contact us, you can reach us at yeahitsthatbad@gmail.com.
And as for the question of the week, what movie do you think sets the most interesting vision of what the future could be?
Head on over to yeahitsthatbad.com and leave a comment on this episode's page answering the question. Okay, so tune in next week when the movie we'll be reviewing will be Boondock Saints.
As a man of Irish descent, I love this movie.
Yeah, this movie was requested by a lot of people, so should be a good one. This is a pretty big movie. I know a lot of people out there have already seen it. So if you have, and if you like it, or if you think it's overrated or whatever, please leave us a voicemail at 973-797-YAH, Y-E-A-H, and we will play your phone call on the show. This call is free to anyone in the continental United States. Okay, so for the next Listener's Choice episode, the theme's going to be robots.
Which is a great theme.
And the choices are
Short Circuit
versus
Bicentennial Man.
If you don't know what any of these movies are, just head on over to our site and I will post trailers for both of these movies.
And if you don't want to watch the trailers, here's a real quick idea of what they are. Bicentennial Man is Robin Williams dressed up in metal. And Short Circuit is essentially Wally with a laser beam.
Oh yeah, doesn't somebody do like essentially does blackface in it by like pretending to?
Oh
like
man, that? Yeah, it is bad.
So head on over to yeahitsthatbad.com and vote in the poll what movie you want to see us do next. So to recap, next week's episode will be Boondock Saints, and don't forget to vote in the poll for the Listener's Choice episode. Bicentennial Man or Short Circuit. All the movies I just listed are currently available on Netflix Instant, so you can play along with us at home. And if you've already seen the movie we're going to be reviewing next week, leave us a voicemail at 973-797-YAH. Thank you for listening to the show. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. Please follow us on Twitter at @YeahItsBad. Please tell your friends about the show by heading on over to yeahitsthatbad.com and liking us on Facebook and talking about us on Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. We have a new episode every Tuesday. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
He's got his wife.
Guy, yeah.
He's got his wife and his daughter in there too, which I thought was kind of.
Is that who you thought they were? I thought they were just like sex slaves.
Why would he have like a 5-year-old in there?
What?
There was a full grown woman and there was like a child.
There was two full grown women in there.
They were full. Maybe I just saw what I wanted to say.